In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and of God, Amen. Today's passage that we just read is a segment from the Sermon of our Lord Jesus Christ on the mountain. And in this segment, he focuses particularly on one message, which is trying to tell us not to worry. And this message is extremely fitting for us in the days that we are living in. The days that we are living in are extremely fearful, and we all live with so many worries. There is an array of fears that is fed to us by the media, by our society, and they include things like we're all worried about the security of our jobs. There are a lot of redundancies taking place in different companies, and we're worried about the redundancies. The economy is slowing down, worried about our investments. The housing market, perhaps we're in a bubble, and we're worried about the money we have tied up in housing. Global warming is taking place, so if we live along the water, we're worried about our house getting flooded. ISIS is spreading and brutally killing people, and the fear of terrorism and extremism is haunting us. The Ebola virus is spreading rapidly all over Africa. We're worried about smaller things like our family, our children, who we're going to marry, when we're going to have kids, what am I going to study, what course am I going to do, what job am I going to get? And the list goes on. We are plagued nowadays with so many worries. And media doesn't help the situation. One study done by a professor in England, he's a professor of sociology, and he just did a quick count of the amount of times in British newspapers the word at risk is used, the word at risk. In 1994, he found the word at risk appeared 2,037 times. In 1995, the following year, that amount doubled. By the year 2000, the word at risk appeared 18,000 times. So in 6 years, the word at risk increased 9 times. And so, is society becoming that much more at risk? Is it becoming that much more at danger? Or is media increasing the amount of fear that they feed to us? And it makes sense, because fear is interesting and fear sells. When you see a news title saying be careful, be warned, we all glued to the TV to watch what we should be careful or be warned about. And so media is feeding us this fear. They say that we now are living in the most worried culture that has ever lived on this earth. We're living in the most worried culture. They also say that for the first time since the Second World War, parents believe that the life of their children will be worse off than their own life. Like a lot of our parents that came from Egypt came with the hope that their children would live a better life than they did. But for the first time since the Second World War, parents now believe that they were better off than their kids would. And so the message of fear is all around us. And then comes Christ. And Christ does the exact opposite. The don't fear genre in the Gospels is the most issued command from the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ, saying do not fear. I told you some statistics about media. I'll tell you some statistics about our Lord Jesus Christ. 125 times he issued a command about not worrying, not fearing, not being anxious. 125 times it is the most issued command. If we believe that love is the most issued command, or love appeared, loving God and neighbor appeared 8 times, but not worrying appeared 125 times. Just in this gospel alone, our Lord Christ said, don't worry 6 times. Just in this passage, don't worry, he said it 6 times. So Christ took this very seriously. He doesn't want us to worry. And so we live now in this day and age where society and the media tell us you should feed, there are threats all around you, and Christ comes and tells us, don't worry. Don't worry. But I guess the question now is how? How can we not worry with all of these things happening around us? How can we not be worried in our life? Now, Lord Jesus Christ offers us three solutions or three ways in today's gospel for us not to worry. The first is put your treasures in heaven. Second, trust me more. And third, live for today. And we'll go through each one of them. The first, he says, put your treasures in heaven. And this is his solution not to worry. Not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so our Lord pinpoints the root cause of our worries. He says the big problem, the root cause of all your worries, is that your treasures are on earth. That's the problem. If you just simply transfer your treasures, your efforts, your desires, your passions, your hearts to heaven, you no longer worry. When our treasures are tied up on earth, that's when we are filled with worry. During the week, we had a bishop, Amba Asheya, who came to pray with us liturgy during the week, and he gave a sermon, and in his sermon he said something quite interesting. He said the Coptic Church teaches its people and prepares its people for martyrdom. Everybody. Everyone is prepared for martyrdom. And those who miss out can become saints. So the aim is martyrdom, and the fallback is sainthood. And that's what he says the church prepares people to do. Prepares people to sacrifice their life. And essentially, to prepare people to do that, we're asking people to put your treasures in heaven. It's all about heaven. That I'm ready to even go to the extent to sacrifice my life. And this is the level that we aim at in our spiritual life, that everything, all our desires are in heaven. When that takes place, we're never worried, because when we get worried, it's about things on this earth. I'm worried about my treasures that are on this earth, and things that are on this earth are susceptible to change, are susceptible to corruption, are susceptible to dangers, and I worry about them in heaven. But when they're in heaven, there's nothing to worry about. When I was ordained a new priest, they gave me a brand new car, Toyota Fluga. I've never had a brand new car in my life. So it was extremely exciting and luxurious to have a brand new car. And whenever I get something new, I get really excited, and God doesn't like that when I get excited about earthly things, so he always ruins it for me. So soon after my brand new Fluga, somebody decided to scratch it all over it. And I was really upset about it. And I was with a Bunyao, and I showed a Bunyao. So the Bunyao looked at it, my brand new Fluga. They scratched the whole thing. And the Bunyao was looking at the scratching. And he goes, it's a nice new look for the car. Thanks to Bunyao for the comfort. And then recently, we got new phones. We got the brand new Samsung Edge. You know about the Edge? It's got two screens. The normal phone screen and then another screen on the edge that displays more information. And I have waited a long time for this phone to be released, and I got the Samsung Edge. And again, God doesn't like it when I get new things. And so after the first week, I dropped my Samsung Edge. It fell on the edge. And it didn't just break the edge, but spread a crack throughout the whole screen. The whole thing was, I couldn't even use it. I get like glass in my fingers if I try to use it. So I went to Bunyao. Buna, look what happened to my brand new Samsung Edge. Please. And he looks at the phone and he says, it came with a very nice pattern of cracking throughout the screen. Nothing seemed to bother him. So I learned not to go to Bunyao for any comfort for my own products. But we can get to that point in our life where we don't even care about the things of this earth. In our treasures in heaven, nothing worries us. Scratch cars, cracked phones, they're small examples, but bigger things happen in our life. Sickness, losing of jobs, disasters that happen around us, nothing worries us when our treasures are in heaven. The second thing our Lord advises us to do, to not worry, He says, trust me a bit more. He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So he says, just trust me a bit more. Look around. Like the birds. Have you ever seen a bird upset? Ever seen a bird crying? Birds are always chirping around, waking in the morning, they're always happy. Annoying to be happy when you want to stay in bed and there, whistling all over the place. Birds are always happy. Have you ever seen a bird upset? Christ says, just look around. Look around you. Are you not more value of they than you of little faith? And so, this command of don't worry is not a suggestion. It's not saying, please have you don't worry, or just don't worry. It's actually a commandment. Like loving your enemies, just the same, don't worry. And so actually, if we do worry, it's a sin. It's a sin. It says, oh, you of little faith, don't worry. Trust me a bit more. As Christians, we are called to be different in many ways in our life. And this is one of them. We are called to be different in the way we trust God. If really we have faith in God, then we have no cause to worry. Because no matter what happens in our life, even if it's bad, we believe it's for the good. And even if it's the worst thing in the world, we believe God allowed it for a reason. So actually, nothing should get us worried or anxious. 2 years ago, we had a speed trip to the snow. And usually, one of the students takes the youth, goes with them on the bus, and then leaves them on Saturday to come back to pray liturgy on Sunday. And it's a 6-hour bus ride from the slopes to here. 6 hours. And so, for the first time, I was going with Costinos on the ski trip. And I said, Buna, like, rather than driving 6 hours back on the bus, why don't we just catch a flight back? It takes 45 minutes. He goes, all right, if you want to catch a flight, catch a flight. So I went online and I found flights that come from Perish in Sydney. And I found an airline called Pelican Airways. I should have got the hit Pelican Airways, but I didn't catch it. So anyway, I took the risk and I booked for me and Costinos a ticket back from Pelican Airways to the Sydney. It was like a 6-seater airplane, and it was pretty old. And to make matters worse, it was a very stormy day. So we're flying back on the Pelican, and in the midst of the storm, and the plane was rocking all over the place. It was bouncing up and down the whole way. When I got off, I felt like I was in a big brawl. Like I feel like I just been bashed. Anyway, so Buna was sitting in front of me, and next to me was this big, muscly guy. So I felt some sort of comfort. I've got a spiritual person in front of me, and I've got a physical, strong guy next to me. If anything happens, he's going to look after me. Anyway, Buna, in the midst of all of this, fell asleep, and the big, muscly guy was screaming his head off. He was holding on the chair in front of him, and he was screaming and swearing and crying in fear of this aeroplane. So I put my arm around him. I said, don't worry, man, it's going to be all right. And he looked at me with frustration. He said, it's easy for you to say, you're a priest. And he continued on screaming. But actually, his message is right. It is easy for us to say because we're Christians. We do trust in God. We do believe that the Lord will bring us down safely. And if he doesn't, then all well and good, I'll go to heaven. So nothing worries us. He was right. We are different. We are Christians. It is easy for us to say. We have to act in a way that we have trust, we have faith in the Lord. Our Lord said, just trust me a bit more, so you will be in faith. The last thing that our Lord suggests to us is live for today. He said, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. He says, just focus on today. Live for today. Don't focus on tomorrow. One of the church fathers said that God always gives us light for our path. He always gives us light for our path, but only enough light for the next step. He gives us light, but only enough light for the next step. When we look into the future, all we see is darkness. And we don't look at the next step, we don't see the light that Christ is casting for our next step. And so we live in fear. We live in worry. I'm worrying about the future, worrying what will happen. And I'm ignoring totally that Christ is in the present. His light is shining in the present. His light is shining in the next step. And so I live in a state of darkness. And Christ is saying to us, forget about the future. Forget about tomorrow. He's not saying, don't think about it. He's saying, don't worry about it. Don't get worked up about it. Leave it for tomorrow. I will cast the light for that day tomorrow. There's a book by C.S. Lewis called The Screwtape Letters. And it's a fiction book. And basically in this book, Uncle Devil, named Screwtape, is writing to his nephew Devil called Wormwood and giving advice to his nephew Devil on how to make mankind fall. And one of the things that the Uncle Devil tells his nephew Devil in this book, he says, there's nothing like suspense and worry for barricading a human's mind against God. God wants men to be concerned with what they do. Our business is to keep them concerned about what will happen. And it's very true that Satan's business is to keep us concerned and worried about the future, ignoring the light that Christ casts on our present, on our next step. If we focus on today, we'll be dazzled by the brightness shining from Christ. The 21 martyrs that were killed in Libya demonstrate to us this principle of not worrying very clearly before our eyes in a very key way. Their treasure was heaven. They weren't worried. If you saw their faces as they were being executed, there wasn't a worry on their face. Their treasure was in heaven, and one of them was even heard saying, Jesus, I'm coming to you. They trusted God. They trusted that if the Lord allowed them to this point of martyrdom, then what an honor and what a glory. And they lived for the moment. They didn't think about anything else. They didn't think about their families or what they could have done in their jobs. They thought about the present time that they were about to see the face of Christ. Some commentators have commented that these 21 who were killed must have been drunk, because nobody, no human, could stand before execution in a calm way, not being worried. They said they looked like they were in a trance. They must have been drugged. Well, we understand they weren't drugged, because we understand what happens at martyrdom. We know that St. Stephen, for example, when he was being stoned, he saw Christ standing at the right hand of the Father. It is the first time in the Bible that Christ is standing at the right hand of the Father. All other times, we know that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. For instance, St. Stephen was being martyred. When he was being stoned, he saw Christ standing as if our Lord was giving him a standing ovation. And I'm sure St. Stephen looked just as drunk and as he was in a trance as well, seeing Christ standing. And so, the world doesn't understand how you do not worry while your head's about to be cut off. But we as Christians understand. We are different. We are called to trust in God. We are called to live for today. We are called to live a life of not being anxious with our treasures in heaven. And we pray that our Lord will always whisper this message to us, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. And glory be to God forever and ever.
Amen.